Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Greg Detmeyer, and I'm not sitting all alone like I have been. I actually have my friend, Kelly Simon, sitting across from me. It's not Jenny yet, but Kelly is sitting in on this special episode in our goals series, and I'll explain why here in a little bit.
Thank you so much for having me back. I've been blessed to be a guest on the podcast a few times now, and I'm excited and anxious to have a conversation with you and connect with our listeners again.
Let's just throw it out there so it's not awkward for Jenny, who's probably listening right now, that you are auditioning.
That's what I hope for each and every time that you ask me.
Jenny, I don't know who gets to pick or who sits down and rates and reviews the audition, but I think you're 50% of it. So I think, Kelly, you're in a tough spot.
Well, I believe listeners out there need to provide some amazing feedback.
Some feedback. That's awesome. Kelly, we're kind of in the midst, kind of at the tail end of a goal series that I've been putting together on kind of tracking things that I've learned through my lifestyle change. So anyone who's listening for the first time, or those who have been, about 18 months ago, I set out on a health journey, really set out to get healthy. In doing so, learned all these other like little principles and thoughts and ideas that apply to different aspects of goal setting. And in each solo introduction, I would say, like, these ideas don't really apply simply to losing weight or changing how you eat or wanting to exercise. These apply to anything. It could be finances. It could be I want to read more often. It could be a classroom teacher who wants to implement something new or change a practice that they're doing. Really, anytime you're looking to pursue a goal, I feel like the principles I've been talking about in this series are helpful in doing that. Today's episode is all about really making the plan. And I invited you on because, one, I know you're very passionate about values, which is part of the plan. But two, I feel like you have a special place in my plan that I've been going with for the last 18 months or so, because there's been three people who I check in with on a pretty consistent basis, yourself, Dan Butler, and then my wife, on how I'm doing with my plan. So I thought it'd be cool to have you here as we talk about my plan that I followed, and then what things can we take from that apply to other goals.
Fantastic. And I would push back already on something you said. When you're talking about what you've been putting out there for listeners and what you have learned as far as like the principles and things like that you've learned throughout your journey, knowing what a lot of those are, I would actually push and say you knew most of them previous to your journey. In my opinion, you found something that you are connected to, care about enough, and value enough to actually take those things that were housed, you know, in some part of your brain and apply them, which is, I think, honestly, really relieving to a lot of listeners that are either on a similar journey or wanting to be. It's not necessarily having to go out there and learn all new. A lot of times it's digging deep and actually applying what you already know when you figure out you're worth it and you care enough about it.
I would agree. And as someone who is faith-based, I remember many times hearing a pastor say, you don't need to learn anything more. You actually just need to start doing what you know. And I think the same thing, like I knew all this stuff, but it was a matter of like bringing it together and connecting it and seeing it actually work. And my story giving power to that, showing like, oh, the idea of wanting something that you've never had and saying like, I need to go do things I've never done. It's possible now because I've seen myself do it. It's not just a thought out there in space. It's now something I know that is true because the proof is here. I can see that proof.
And as your pastor would say, amen.
And he probably hit the pulpit because we went to Baptist
churches. Yes, even better.
Probably running across the pews.
My kind.
So the skeleton of my plan came from a book by Patrick Lencioni called The Three Key Questions to the Frantic Family. We're just going to kind of walk through each question and then kind of talk about how that applied to my journeys. Question one that he talks about in there and that I asked myself was, what makes me unique, or what makes us unique? And really, this is getting at values and really at the core who you are. it was important, too, to distinguish that these are things that truly set us apart. A lot of times when we think of core values, we fall into a place where we are doing things where it's like, these are permission to play values. So like things like, well, I'm going to be truthful. Okay, I agree. Like, we should be truthful, but at the same time, like, everyone should be truthful. That's just being a good human or being respectful. So when I was looking and deciding, like, what values represent me, that's what I was looking for. Like, what truly sets Greg Dettmeier apart from 90% of the other people? And in doing so, I realized that for me, two of those for me were service and love. I then tied those into a statement basically stating that I am a husband, father, educator, and leader. It is crucial to me that I serve and love in each of these roles. The first thing I had to do before I even said, like, I want to go lose a bunch of weight or I want to get healthy, and actually that wasn't even on my mind yet. I was just going through the process in this book of, like, who am I? Who is Greg Dettmeier? What matters to me? And that's where I landed on. It's like, well, here's my three or four things I do. I'm a husband, I'm a father, educator, and leader. Those are big aspects of my life. And then I want to serve and love in each of those roles.
What I love about the advice in the book and where you're at is you went the step further that many people aren't willing to go. And honestly, we get this wrong all the way down to when we're talking to our youngest children. And we've talked about this before, Greg, where we commonly fall into asking the questions like, who are you or who do you want to be in life? And with the word who tends to be kind of maybe easy or off-the-cuff answers that are roles. For example, your husband, father, educator. Those are roles, mm-hmm. which are very important. Important to set goals based on, important to desire, important to live up to. But when you think about like a name badge, that is what is on the outside of your name badge. If you had to walk into your house and be identified, you know, Greg, your father, your husband. Here at school, we have to wear name badges. It is your name and your role. I would push to say that is like 1% of who you are. What I want to know, do you know what's on the other side of the badge? Who is that person? And I think when we don't push ourselves to ask that question, both of ourselves and of each other, we get very comfortable in being a role. And then what, to me, that does is that kind of gives away our control of who we are. Well, I'm a husband. So because I'm a husband, I'm too busy to work out. I don't have the money to eat healthy. You know, I'm a husband, so I put my kids first. I'm a husband, so, you know, I have to be with them at bedtime. I can't do this other thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all of our decisions and choices are then filtered through our role. And then we put our own decisions on who we are, what we value, and what we need. The stuff on the backside of that badge, we put that on the back burner. And that's when we, in my opinion, get into where we let life happen to us rather than taking control of our own life. So to connect back to your values part of that, I think that's the difference maker. You knew before who you were as far as a husband, a father, and an educator. What I think took you the next step is to really dig deeper on, but what does that mean to you? And how can you serve those roles by knowing yourself better?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's like, yeah, here's what I do, but how do I want to show up there? Like, how do I want to impact people there? And that kind of dovetails in nicely to that next question, which is question two is simply like looking at what is the most important thing that I need to achieve in life right now? And in the book, he talks 3 to 4 months. I ended up stretching that out for a year. I was reflecting on that question. So I had that statement of, I'm a husband, father, educator, and leader, and I want to do these roles in a way of service and love. I had that. And I remember sitting there like thinking like, well, what's the most important thing I need to do in the next 3 to 4 months, next year to achieve that? I landed on, well, it's my physical health because I'm cheating myself. One, who knows what can happen? Longevity. You know, I'm cheating myself out of time. I'm cheating myself out of energy to have the energy to throw myself fully into each of those roles, as well as baggage of confidence and so forth that was weighing me down there as well. from that process of like looking, it's like, who am I? What do I want? How do I want to serve these roles? What's the most important thing I need to do? That's where I landed, was, well, I need to do something about my health.
And again, you landed there on service and love, not on, okay, what is the most important thing I need to do as a father? What's the most important thing I do as a husband, as an educator? Those were established. No, what's the most important thing I can do to live up to serving and loving?
Mm-hmm.
All of those roles, right? And I think the other thing our listeners need to know is, being on this journey with Greg, being one of his accountability partners, never in this goal setting phase has it been alluded to or even felt that when I reach that goal, that's when I will be happy. That's when I will like get to that pinnacle and enjoy those roles I have. Because honestly, then you're a chaser. Then I'm going to push to say you're no better than an addict, that a workaholic, an alcoholic, a drug addict, whatever, because what are they chasing as well? Numbing current feelings, wanting and chasing for something to be better. You started the journey by defining who you are now in the moment and how you can be better at that, not saying, well, okay, so like when I shed this weight, then I will be the father. No, I want to be the father that my kids deserve and I deserve to be right now. This goal is going to help me, is going to make me better. But when I reach it, it's not like, whoop, the clouds parted and here I am.
So I actually have in my notes right here that question two, so like my rallying cry, which is what I came up with, was really there to push me so that I could serve and love better, do it harder, longer, be there more often for those who I serve and love in those roles. Yes, as I was going through the goal, like it wasn't a matter of like, well, I'm going to wait to here until this point to really jump in and go all in with these roles that I'm living out. But at the same time, where I'm at now, like compared to the person who was doing it a year ago, I feel like I'm leaps and bounds beyond where that person was, even though at that time I was happy and I was doing the best I could with the skills I had in those roles.
I think, right, the difference is you were serving and loving. Serving and loving, as your examples, didn't start at the pinnacle of when you reached a goal. Serving and loving is what got you there. You connected with you, who your values are. Therefore, you are in alignment with yourself, which is true happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, you can celebrate the finer moments of like reaching a certain number goal or doing something special, you know, jumping on a trampoline with your children. I just like, that is something that is like, I connect with that moment of celebration so much. But it's the serving and loving that got you there. That wasn't the moment where you're like, oh, look, here I am loving my kids. It's been a part of the entire journey. I think that's what some people get wrong when they go on the chaser side of things rather than goal setting.
Yes, I didn't just get to a point like, oh, yay, I reached my weight goal. Now I'm going to start loving serving. Been doing that the whole time. I think, too, I like to add examples of other goals in here as well. But for like question two, they're like, what's the most important thing for me in the next 3 to 4 months? I think for me, that was weight loss. But really think like, what things are you dreaming about? What things are you passionate about? What things are you hungry for? I've been listening to a lot of a motivational speaker, Les Brown. I love what he's been saying. And the last thing I listened to him was, he was talking about how we have the opportunity by chasing our dreams and our goals to rob the grave of untapped dreams and potentials. Basically meaning that so many people go to the grave without living their dreams, without pursuing a goal. As you're sitting there like contemplating question two, like what are the big things I want to chase for the next 3 to 4 months? I think a lot of times we get stuck at the point where we don't take that step because we're afraid of failing. And we think, well, that's the worst thing that's going to happen. The worst thing, I'm going to try this goal. I'm going to fail at it. I'm going to tell people that I have this dream and I'm going to look like a fool because I'm not going to achieve it. I've really learned that that's not the worst thing that can happen. It's actually a good thing, because if you keep failing, you'll eventually get there. The worst thing that can happen is not failing at a, a goal or a dream, but taking it to your grave with you, taking that untapped potential and leaving it there. For me, my dreams and ideas and thoughts, like, those were given to me. So I feel that is my job, is to like live those things out and to be the best version of me and not just sit on those talents and gifts that I've been given and those ideas. Question two for me was all about losing weight and getting healthy. And as I sit here today, my question two, as far as like, well, what's the next thing? I really feel I'm now at a place of like confidence because I've gone through this process where it's like, yeah, now's the time to really start pursuing those big dreams. Like, what do you want to achieve? Not just in the next 3 or 4 months, but like in life. Like, what do you want your family to look like? What do you want your career to look like? What do you want to personally be as a leader?
And adding to that, I'm imagining there's listeners out there sitting there like I am maybe right now, where Greg's talking about not letting the fear of failure stop you from starting that journey. I would even push to say, don't let the fear of the fact that you can't name the thing yet to stop you from starting, right? So you could very realistically name your first thing. I need to be healthy, and all the steps that come with that. Great. I'm thinking about personal career right now. Like, I can't name the thing. I don't know what's next. I don't know. I at 41, I mm-hmm. still don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah.
That has never stopped me from consistently and constantly moving forward. So I don't even know what my target is yet. I just know I'm built for more. That more might be the same role I'm in.
That's true, but it might be like living a value through that role totally. To the max. So like my word of the year this year has been relentless. And I actually have a plan. It's hanging right behind me of here's how I'm going to be relentless at work. Here's how I'm going to be relentless at home. And here's how I'm going to be relentless in my personal, like just for me. And that really came from like that question, like, all right, I don't see like a huge career change right now, but like, does that mean I just sit here and stay at the status quo? And it's like, no, like I'm going to make myself the best instructional coach I can be. And there's a lot of work to go. I mean, ask anyone I work with. They'll be like, yeah, there's so much work for Greg to do. I mean, we could come up with stuff. He ain't going to live long enough. So it doesn't have to be like I'm stepping into a new role. It's just like find a value that you want to go after and like live that out.
I love this, Greg, because this is the goal setting I'm all about. Again, back to defining ourselves by roles. You also can't define your goals by roles, by positions. You know, I won't live my whole life, my true life, until I'm a mom or a dad, I'm a parent, until I find somebody to marry, until I get that great leadership position. I'm going to call BS, guys. How about you get centered on a value? To me, if you're seeking marriage or children or something like that, figure out if a value of yours is connectedness or love or something of the such. Live that out. Don't chase the goal of the proverbial thing. Chase the goal of being a better human yourself. The thing then will come if it's meant to come.
Correct. It's going to take care of itself. So that kind of leads nicely into question three. Question three, I think a lot of people get hung up on setting a goal because, all right, let's take like getting healthy or my example. When I first started, I had no idea what I was doing. I threw some things out there that I think this will help. I think, yeah, I need to exercise. I've heard that's a good thing. I probably shouldn't be eating this many double cheeseburgers late at night. That's probably a thing as well. But by no means was I like a food expert or a nutrition expert or a fitness expert. And I'm really not now. I know a lot more than I did. But what I'm trying to say is like, as you set your goal, you don't have to have this perfect plan. You just have to start doing something. And then as you go, you will learn and you will surround yourself by people who know and can support you. And that's one of the reasons I asked you, like, hey, whether you like it or not, I'm going to be sending you these boxes every 2 weeks because you kind of are doing what or have done what I want to do. I want to be fit. I want to be active. And I think you're a person who does that. So I'm going to reach out to you and I want to learn from you.
And I think what needs to be said with that accountability check is, let's say on the average 3 to 5 minute back and forth conversation we have quickly on that check-in, 30 seconds is about the goal of fitness and health and numbers. The rest of it is connected to the bigger goal and purpose of serving and loving.
Yes. It's like, here's 30 seconds. Here's the metrics. And now here's what I've been thinking, or here's where my mind's at. So question 3, Pat calls it the defining objectives. And these are the things, like the 5 or 6 things that you need to do to bring your rallying cry, to make your goal a reality. So for me, just to give you an example, I'll rattle off my 5 for like my healthcare journey. One was, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. I'm going to keep my calorie intake under 1800 calories. I'm going to connect with 3 people on a regular basis and have them as accountability partners. I'm going to weigh myself daily, record it weekly. And then the last one, I'm going to have at least 12,000 steps a day per my Fitbit. Those were the 5 things that I said to reach my rallying cry right now. I'm going to do these things. Now then I took that and I typed it all up. Whereas here's the question. I'll post this so people can see it. Here's question 1. Here's question 2. And then here's my defining objectives. And underneath each objective, I had a little circle. And in that circle, I would once a week sit down with a printed copy, and with a green, I would fill the circle in green if it was like, I'm killing it here. I'm doing great. I did that. Yep. Worked out 5 times. Yep. Hit my step goal every time, and so forth. A yellow would be like, I did some, but I didn't others. And then I would hit a red where it's like, nope, did not do that. I ate terrible last week.
Can I interrupt your train of thought there and ask you, how did you feel when you saw the yellows and reds?
It ticked me off.
So what did you do about it?
So yeah, that was a great way to say, all right, so here, this was a yellow. What can I do this week? So next week, it's a green. And I just kept going back and forth. And there were times where it would take me a couple weeks to get one from a red to a yellow to a green. But eventually, I found like I'm hitting all greens.
Can I ask, would it make any difference if at times you knew the red or the yellow was intentional? Maybe an example like you were gone on vacation with your family, so it was a couple travel days, the 12,000 steps you knew wasn't going to happen. It was an intentional, I know I'm not going to meet this. I'm sacrificing this part of the goal for this, you know, event or what have you. Did that help?
In the last year for that goal specific, like my wife and I both agreed, like no matter what, you need to shoot for green as much as possible. Like, this goal is too important. The task is too big that you can't do that. So there were days we went to the Wisconsin Dells and we spent a few nights in a hotel. And I remember like tucking the kids in bed and being like, I guess I'm going for a 60-minute walk back and forth down the hotel halls. And I did that. So it was kind of the opposite, actually, because I didn't want the red. I didn't want the yellow. I was really driven not to have to give myself a yellow or a red. Because when I sat down and came up with those 5 things, I really thought to myself, like, if I do these things consistently, I'm going to take steps closer to my goal. Now, the opposite of that is, if I'm not doing these things, you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. So I did not allow myself. There were times it happened, but not like air quote on purpose.
Okay. That's interesting. Anise Kavanaugh in the book Contagious Culture talks a lot about, of course, our values, but also the fact that values and purpose and action, and sometimes we do find ourselves not in alignment. And the important thing is, at that point, not blowing past that, not making excuses for it, but being at a decision point. And there's no right or wrong decision necessarily, but you found yourself at a decision point where I'm okay with this. I'm out of alignment because maybe right now I chose this other value to rank above it, or I'm not okay with this. What am I going to do about it? So you just illustrated that, you know, very much talking about definitely for that stretch of life and maybe continuing on, I don't know, your decision points are choosing, like, I'm not okay with the reds. right?
Yep.
And so it this is a fairly new, you know, even 18 months is a fairly short or new focus for values and goals for you. So I'm curious, as life continues and as you continue to have these as values and goals, how you handle the decision points where it's like, I'm out of line right now. What do I do to get them back? Or it's okay because I did take time to refine this value in my life. It's okay that sometimes my values compete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think so, like, and that totally makes sense. So for that first year, it was grind, grind, grind. And just in my mind, it was like, this is too important to say, like, it's like the snooze button. Like, you hit the snooze, it wasn't worth it. It's the same thing. Like, you eat the donut, it's not worth it. But now I'm at a point where I also need to realize, like, you can be to the extreme as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be unhealthy. A good example, last weekend, we went out to eat as a family on Friday night. And then we had a birthday party Saturday night. Now, last year, I would have said, I'm having a protein bar before I go to the party because I'm not going to eat what's at the party. Doing that for a long time probably is not healthy for me or for my kids to see. Like, dad's afraid of food. And I don't want that. Now I'm at a point where it's like, all right, I'm going to go into the gray a little bit here and eat 2 pieces of pizza instead of 8. And I've learned to do that. But there's certainly a time where it's just like, I need to be super strict just to kind of form that new habit.
Absolutely. To completely understand that. And I can apply that to even, you know, beyond the health goals that we talk about, which I've been on longer, and know that you end up finding that balance, right? And most of the time, the balance comes maybe not so much like, honestly, it's probably easier for me to just grab the protein bar and say no. It's easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard I choose, right? Because that's the hard that satisfies me. But I do have to look at things on, what are my kids watching me do? They can watch me have the 2 pieces. Like, that's still healthy,
yep.
Right? So it becomes about somebody else bigger than yourself. Career example of, like, I don't always have to be 100% of the time at my job. I don't, because sometimes my family deserves my 100%, and I am still only one person.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are, like, daily sometimes decision points that I'm faced with. If I know my teenage daughter or something is going through a little bit of a difficult time, because teenage years suck, then I know sometimes I have to save some, you know, emotional connection and availability for her that I might typically give all to my work colleagues. I've had to learn I actually don't have an infinite amount of that. You know, I don't. So sometimes I have to make those decision points, just like you are in your health journey.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to, like, the orange frog principles, which Jenny and I have a whole podcast series on. Of, like, yeah, I mean, if I feel like I'm rocking it as a dad, it's pretty likely I'm going to come to work and I'm going to do a better job here.
Yep.
I'm going to be able to give more here. So really, question 3, those defining objectives of the goal, that's like the what you do. It's important not to overthink those steps. So one of the things that I kept telling myself for that year, and I still do now with my current rallying cry, is like, I'm going to do the mundane things better than anyone else. So, like, when I'm out running, I can't help but think, like, it's 4:30 in the morning. I'm out here running. Other people are sleeping. I'm out here grinding. Others are sleeping. And that's motivating to me. Or, like, when it's time to sit down and rest at night, it's like, nope, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep doing stuff. So, like, don't think those action steps have to be super flare, like super flamboyant or crazy steps. Like, it could be super simple things, but you just keep doing them and do the super simple better than anyone else, and you're going to make progress. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about the idea of a lumberjack. So goes out into the woods with an axe, right, Kelly? You can picture them. They got their buffalo plaid on or whatnot, really lumberjacky. They go up to the tree. They got their axe, and they just hit the tree 1,000 times in 1,000 different places. What happens to the tree?
Bruised and damaged, yeah. But nothing major.
It's going to be fine. It's still going to be there. Now, what if that lumberjack takes that axe and hits the same spot in the same way 1,000 times? Tree's coming down. So it's not about like doing all this different stuff and throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. It's find what you know works and just do that consistently over and over and over again. And again, do the mundane things better than anyone else. And I think too often as we're trying to work toward a goal, we start and we're like, this is hard or this isn't working. I'm going to try something new.
Or this is boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just another random axe chop at a random point in that mm-hmm. tree. And I think in education, like jumping back there, like we do that a lot. Like, oh, we've been doing this curriculum for 2 years now. It's kind of boring. I want to look for something different or whatnot. I'm not seeing the results I want to see. It's like, well, maybe it's actually time to double down on what you're doing and hit it 1,000 times in the same place, same way.
Right, exactly. So I think, okay, in your health journey, wow, water's boring. Drinking water every day is boring. So boring.
As you say that, I'm drinking a Red Bull.
Talk about, yes, so, yes.
So.
Another podcast for another day. So, okay, I want the next fancy thing. Oh, they just came out with these shakes or these energizers or these additives I can add to it or this quick fix. Oh, that's not so boring. I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. There's an example. You know, in my line of work with leadership within education, ooh, maybe I should come up with a fancy newsletter that I send out every week, or maybe I should do a weekly 3-minute podcast and send that out to the district. No, do the mundane and boring, Kelly. Answer every email. Do that.
Yep.
Drink the water, answer the email. That is actually where it's at. It doesn't, you know, if you're going to do the 3-minute podcast every week, I really think that's a good idea, by the way. That's great. That's above and beyond. That's for something else. If your goal is communication, answer every email. Back to the health. If you know, okay, you want fancy flavors in your drink or whatever, that's for a treat. That's not for your health goal. The health goal, drink the freaking water.
Yep.
It's the simple things right in front of your face.
So much chicken. Over and over and over.
So much chicken.
But I mean, how many times, I mean, I feel like too, like the health journey is such a good example of visible things where it's like, how many times in my past have I sat and it's like, I'm going to eat broccoli. And I eat broccoli for a week with my dad. It's like, well, this ain't doing nothing.
Right.
Well, you got to do it 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to do it consistency
mm-hmm.
in a row. And then eventually things will happen. The neat thing with that then is that eventually these mundane steps are going to form habits. And once you hit that place, it's really, really neat. Because right now with some of the things I was sitting down and like, oh, I don't want to give myself a yellow or red. It's not even a thing. It's just like, why wouldn't I do that? Like, there's no reason for me not to hit 12,000 steps in a day. It's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep doing it
until I'm done. It's your new brushing the teeth. It's why wouldn't that not be a part of your day?
The last thing then is, and I kind of alluded to this early on, is like this whole plan for me was typed up and visible. It's hanging right above my desk, my current one. It's going to stay there. And every week I still pull that out and fill it out. But it was visible for me. It was visible for anyone who was in my office to know, like, here's what Greg's working on. It wasn't just something like left up to chance. Like I had this idea and I didn't just think about it. I inked it out. Well, with printing. And that's been crucial. That time to come and like weekly check in on my goal and see how am I doing with my action steps? What am I doing with my progress? I feel that's one of the places we miss out is it's super easy to set a goal. That's not the hard part. The hard part is carrying through with it. So I was listening to Elon Musk the other day. Some people like him, some people hate him. I think he's a genius. I think he's going to end up to get to Mars.
And your ratings just plummeted.
You got to go watch some SpaceX stuff. It's cool stuff they're doing. Either way, whatever you think of the guy. But his big thing for like SpaceX has not been how to dream up a rocket. It's like building a rocket is easy. We know how to build a rocket. But we don't know how to build 100 rockets because each rocket we build, we have all these people come in. We have brainstorming sessions. We have the paper. Here's the rocket. But what no one has figured out is how do we make them cheap, and how do we manufacture them day after day after day? That's what we can't do. It's the same with a goal. It's easy to sit down with your pad of paper, come up with, here's my goal, here's what I want to change about my life. That's the easy part. The hard part is to manufacture that, to bring that into reality.
And I do think the secret in that is you created that goal because you figured out your values, and that goal is aligned to who you are in your core. You are going, it's already going to be an uphill battle. Goals are hard. They're supposed to be. That's why they're goals. But it is going to be a nearly impossible goal or what have you if it's not rooted in the right things, your values. If it's rooted in, I think I should be healthier because I want to look better. Because guess what? That goal is rooted on what other people think of you. You're not doing it because you're a husband, a father, and an educator that is rooted in service and love. You're doing it for vain reasons because you want to look better. I'm guessing if that's what your goal is rooted on, you will fail multiple times and then likely give up because it's rooted on, you're distracted. You're constantly distracted by what other people think of you. I would push to say, focus on you. There's enough work to do there. But if you start it based on those outward things, that is where you get tripped up and hung up and maybe not even ever make it.
Yeah, and that, I mean, comes back to like the cliche of like, you got to know your why. I mean, we keep saying it over and over and it's almost like background noise there, but it's totally true. Like, you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. For me, this whole journey was not about losing weight. This whole journey was, how can I serve and love in the roles I live every single day?
Absolutely. And then, as we started this, you did the work. I just saw a post today. It didn't have an author with it, but I loved it. It said, if anyone is magically going to appear and just suddenly make your life better, you just better know that that person is always going to be you. That's the person you have to count on to magically make your life better. And that's exactly the work that you have done and will continue to do.
Yeah, it's all that whole ownership piece. So kind of the opposite side of what you just said, but I found it very motivating as well. Either way, is like, you know who has lied to you and let you down more than anyone else in your life?
You, man.
Yeah, it's me. I mean, not me letting you down. Me letting me down.
Me letting me down, you letting you down.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, I'm sure Jason's got some numbers up there. But either way, it's incredibly empowering to know, like, I have the power to make the change.
Both ways.
It's good stuff, Kelly. We could probably keep going.
We could. So, like, vote this really high. Lots of ratings, lots of downloads, lots of views.
And Jenny's just got to be pacing right now. She's going back and forth.
She's shaking.
She's probably hitting stuff.
She's shaking.
So, all right. Well, Kelly, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. This was fun.
This was
very enjoyable.
As we leave, go check out our website, www.iccpodcast.com. You can find our social media links there. You can leave us some listener mail as well. Maybe that's where you could vote and be like, hey, that Kelly Simon person, invite her back.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, hey, we want Jenny. Or, I mean, you probably wouldn't want to do this, but like, hey, what if Kelly and Jenny were on the podcast? And Greg, you can just go away. I would just delete those before anyone sees them. So, but all that stuff can be done there at our home on the web at theiccpodcast.com. As we leave, ask yourself, what one thing can I do to make me a better version of myself? Then do it, because greatness isn't achieved by one single event, but instead a series of small, intentional steps. Do you want to audition for how Jenny closes these things?
On the spot like that?
It's up to you.
Oh, no.
Go.
Be awesome.